It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Melville's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed. Yes. We will hear from Brother Penny Pete here tonight a little bit and see what the heck's going on with the fabulous one and the Mess Lords. He's been out all across the world again somewhere. So
been out running the streets.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll find out what's going on. So.
Yep. I'm good, Phil. But, I'll tell you what. Yeah, it's summer is definitely here. I know we had our longest day of the year this past weekend, but it has been hot the last week or so.
It appears that that could be causing some additional air conditioning problems, too.
It has been.
When it starts getting up in the 90s, we start having some problems with some of these cars.
Yeah, you know, and the big thing is just remember, it's not going to, you know, blow 50-degree air at you when it's 100 degrees outside.
No, isn't there a formula? What, 30 degrees or something?
Basically, 30 degrees is a pretty safe number to look for. If it's, you know, 100 degrees outside, it's going to get about 70 degrees at the vent, you know.
Yeah.
It'll bring it down about 30 degrees in the vehicle. And that number will come down some after you run for a while and it recirculates that air in the car for a while and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, you said that. That's the best thing for a person to do, though, is to put it on recirculate when you first get in the car like that.
Well, I mean, for the first little while, you need to let it draw some cooler air in. I mean, I know we're, you know, doesn't sound right that you're drawing that 100-degree air in, but the inside of that car may be 140 degrees.
Right, right.
Yeah, and you got to get the car cooled off a little
once
bit.
Once you get a little air in there, I actually put my windows down some, you know, and move and let some of that air get in. But then once I do that, then I'll go ahead and put it on recirculate.
Right, then put it on recirculate and let it continually drop that temperature of that inside air. Yeah, so, but it comes around, you know. But we're definitely seeing an influx of air conditioning concerns. People coming in, it just doesn't cool like it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't, but yeah.
Well, you know, we're seeing some of the older models that, 10 years old or 12 or whatever, that are losing a little bit of fluid. But does that have to do with the fact that the new systems that we have on the cars, do they build more pressure?
They don't really build more pressure, but they are able to build the same pressure with less refrigerant. But with that being said, losing a small amount of refrigerant makes a bigger difference on the newer systems. So you lose just a little bit, and it'll affect the way it cools.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to stay on top of it. I mean, the older systems, they were, I'm not going to say designed to leak, but they were expected to lose just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, over time. But
that's reading they had so much Freon in them, too.
it's just not a good way to go, but the newer ones, they're sealed up much better. Even with a newer refrigerant, we have a 1234YF refrigerant. It's a lot more expensive, but it does do a good job.
Am I true in saying that the newer Freon has smaller particles of air? And that's one of the reasons that we had to change the type of hoses and fittings and stuff that we were using in the past.
Yeah, and they've actually changed a lot of things. They've changed the way the refrigerant flows through the system. They actually recirculate some of the high side through the low side with different lines, and the passages in the condenser are just, you know, microscopic. They're so small.
Yeah.
So
but it cools easier that way, though.
It does a good job. I mean, it really does. The newer vehicles, of course, everything's insulated extremely well. It so far it's been pretty good. You know, it's been around for about 3 years or
right.
So. Not all of our stuff had it you know, that far back, but they're pretty much all
well,
there
the 134 has been out, what, 20 years now?
Shoot, probably longer than that. 20, I think 96 was the was when it changed
about
over.
24 years.
Yeah, then, 24, yeah. 5, yeah. So it's been around a while, and that's when all of them were mandated. So it's, yeah, it pretty well run its course, you know. The 12 stuff, it had been around for, shoot, what, 40 Ooh, years at that point?
Since it started.
45.
You know?
Well, they had some wild systems back in the early days. I mean, it took up half the trunk in the Cadillacs.
Well,
and
wait
Lincolns
a minute, wait
stuff,
a minute. That's like the old computers.
Oh yeah.
I mean, a computer would take up a whole building. You know?
I know.
and a you know a laptop now will do more work than that thing was doing.
Yeah, I understand. We did have a text message here from Michelle asking if apparently you can buy a Corvette cheaper in Canada.
Say what?
Going by the exchange rate and
The money.
Her question was whether you could buy it there, have it shipped to the United States, and still have a warranty on it. The answer to that is really no. You can't buy a vehicle with the intentions of having it shipped straight here. Now, the catch to that is if you buy it in Canada while you're living in Canada and then you legitimately move to the United States with a change of address, you can get it changed over and have the warranty on it.
Well, you act like you've had a problem with that.
Oh, we've
before.
Been there and done that one. Yeah, we don't deal with it as much here because we're way away from the border.
Yeah, we're a couple of hours away from the border. I think.
You know, up in the northern states up there where it's, you know, a stone's throw away from the border, yeah, they've had some issues with that over the years, you know.
So what she's asking is if you could call a dealership in Canada and buy the car, send the money to them, and they could ship
right.
the car to you here?
Right.
Would the warranty then apply? Uh-huh. That's what she was asking.
Yeah,
probably.
No, you can't.
If that's not true, is that not exactly what you meant, then give us another text back on it.
Yeah, but that's what she's talking about, and it's the answer there is no. No, they shut you down on that deal.
Hmm.
But sounds like most of the questions we're getting out of Michelle here lately is about a new 2020 Corvette. Sounds like she's ready.
I think, yeah. She may even be considering buying one.
Uh-huh. She's ready for one for sure. But, you know, they're actually, I was just listening to a webcast from GM today about getting everything back up and going. They said by the end of, I think it was the middle of next month, that they will be back up to pre-COVID levels of production.
Okay.
So, you know, they're going to be, you know, getting vehicles to us in a hurry. So it's there's a lot of them that are done. There's a lot of them that are on the way. We've been starting to receive some new vehicles. That being said, we actually got the new Trailblazer in today. We got a few of those in today. That fits in the segment there, SUV segment between the Trax and the Equinox. Neat looking little vehicle, no doubt. So it's you know, we're looking for it to do big things for us. So yeah, don't know a whole lot about it yet as far as how it's going to do, all that kind of stuff, but I feel confident that it'll be a good vehicle.
Oh yeah. Well, I heard your glorious owner being interviewed the other day, and he's talking about that they were a little bit down on inventory.
Yeah, we're a little down on inventory, and one of the things they're doing is we're putting it out there that if you have a late model, you know, nicer vehicle, something that we would put on our used car lot, come talk to us because they're looking to buy cars, and it'd be a done deal. Very little negotiation. You know, if it's a reasonable price, they'll stroke you a check right there. And
or they make you a good deal on whatever vehicles are left, or maybe on a vehicle that hadn't got here yet.
Right. And, you know, like I say, though, but you don't even have to be buying a vehicle from us to sell one. So if you got a later model vehicle and you're ready to sell it, I know they've paid some. They're definitely paying more than they would have before.
Right. Well, that's good for the people that want to move their vehicles.
Right. Now, it needs to be a piece that's something that we can – you know, get ready and put on our front line.
Oh, you don't want that front line
piece? Nah, well, it needs to be sold in, you know, in this decade would be nice. You know,
okay.
Well, or this century anyway. So.
Oh, darn. Okay, I'll keep my rag then.
All right, well, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Don't seem like a whole lot after 30 years of driving up and down the interstate. But Charlie's had a good life, and Charlie's got a good wife. And after tonight, she'll no longer be counting the days.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor. Along with Tom Claxton, if you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. But, yeah, we were talking a little bit about inventory out at UJ. We're, you know, we've been definitely been a little shy on the used car side and on the new car side, but we did get some vehicles start rolling in. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten any trucks in yet, but we do have a couple out there still. We had some Equinoxes and Trailblazers and the Traversas come in. We still got some of the Tracks and a few Suburbans, a few Tahoes.
Okay.
You know, we still got a little bit of a stock out there. We still got some of our heavy duty stuff, the one ton stuff. But things are coming around. They're getting vehicles rolling again.
Well, I would think that if the parts manufacturers have produced enough parts to start sending to the assembly line, then they've got enough parts to start sending out to all the parts departments and try to get those back, those loss of revenues
right
back up and running too.
Well, and that's another thing is, you know, our parts, we were struggling there for a little while they had parts down, but that's starting to come back around. The biggest thing is, you know, the suppliers, you know, they weren't necessarily all shut down, so they were still, you know, putting them in transport trucks and sending them out to the distribution centers, but there wasn't nobody there to distribute.
Right.
So there was
they had to get all these trailers all unloaded and get the inventory back in the warehouse and get it cataloged and get it in the inventory of the computers before they could start sending it back out. So.
Yeah. At one time they had thousands of trailers
really
sitting there that needed to be unloaded.
So in other words, some of the actual producers of the components and pieces didn't shut down at all.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they slowed it down some, but you know they need to keep
pumping
it out.
Well, they probably got
too.
That millions of dollars. If they're a big facility, they could have got millions of dollars from that PPP deal, where the government was paying them to pay their payroll, you know, for like 8 weeks.
Right. So it's they had the deal with them, and they had to keep producing parts, you know. So
ain't nothing wrong with that.
You know, hey. Yeah, you know, pieces are there. We just got to get them sent out.
It takes parts and pieces to make all that stuff run.
Well, you know, not only do they have to build the parts to build the new vehicles, but, you know, they're having to supply parts for cars that are 10-plus years old.
Right.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff that has to keep flowing through there, you know. You know, when they build millions of cars a year, you know, they've got to build parts to maintain those things and repair them.
Yeah,
so it's a handful. No doubt.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody out there that's got a car problem that would like to have the Car Doctor talk to him about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll give us a call at 343-0106.
Yeah. So, I'm sure somebody's got to have a problem. There's no way they don't.
It's not a perfect world.
No.
Not a perfect world. It's not a perfect world at this day and time, anyway.
Yep, absolutely. But anyway, we've been actually pleasantly surprised, and businesses picked back up to just about where we were beforehand. So, you know, all things are doing well.
I think everybody's trying to get cranked back up, Kev. It's,
everybody's
burnt out on all this quarantine stuff. They're burnt out on the staying in the house all the time, playing in the backyard. They've done about all the honeydews and all the little repair work around the house and the painting and cleaning and stuff that they wanted to do for a while, and they really take a break now. Just take a break and go back to work.
Right. I was talking to my brother today, and, you know, of course, he's retired, so, you know, he don't have any problems there.
Nice,
but, you know, he was like, well, what have you been doing? And I was like, well, you know, I've been working every day. Working as usual, you know. I've been going to work every day and doing what I got to do and move on, you know. So, you know, this is just normal for me, you know. Well. So, yeah.
Well, you're like quarantined all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you to get a break, they'll just have to take your phones away from you.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I still got plenty of things to do around the house. So, not being able to go out and eat and that kind of stuff has not been a real problem. Mm-hmm. You know, you get tired of the drive through fast foods, yeah. You know. But, you know, other than that, it hasn't been a big deal.
I think some of the ladies had to relearn how to cook.
Yeah. Yeah, there's quite a few.
Get out the crock pots, you know.
Yeah. Well, I bought all this food because they told me to, but now what do I do with it?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, you going to cook or what?
That's right.
Cans.
Yeah. 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 So, and you got to start planning ahead because you had to freeze all that stuff. Then you got to think about getting it out a couple of days ahead of time and letting it thaw.
Well, you know, if it hadn't been so far away from the hurricane time and we could have just left it all in storage and in the deep freeze and what have you, then we would have been covered for the hurricane collection that we have to get up every year.
No, we still got plenty in the freezer at this point, you know, so we're good for a little while. Yeah, if we got a hurricane come through, I don't think we need to go for much, you know.
There you go. But,
yeah. Like I say, about the only thing I didn't see people buying through this was plywood. So, you know,
you got a box of windows up.
Yeah. I mean, I saw people buying generators and bottled water. It's like, look, they're not shutting the water off, people. So they weren't planning on turning the power off. No. So,
all right, well, let me run this one by you. How about a 2018 GMC?
That would be the Terrain.
Terrain. Mm-hmm. SES lights on, low power. Looks like, wonder what the heck happened to him on that.
Yeah, the what was happening is the intercooler for the turbocharger had actually gotten damaged by running over one of the, you know, gators in the middle of the road. You know, the tires, you know, the rubber off of a truck tire.
And a lot of people will just go ahead and hit those, but you don't realize how much damage that big piece of rubber off of a truck tire, especially.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where most of those come from.
And that's about 100 pounds worth of rubber sometimes, right. You know. So
I
it's
dodged
a big
piece
chunk.
This afternoon, and everybody thought I was going crazy because I went out across the lane to get around it. I wasn't going to center it and let it go underneath my car and pop my oil pan or oil filter or something and knock it off.
Right.
Or slap that radiator or the cooler or something on it.
You'd be amazed what kind of damage you can do with running over some of this stuff on the highways. You know, it's this one, of course, it busted the intercooler, created a leak on the pressure side from the turbo to the motor. So any kind of boost it was trying to make, it was just blowing out. And with that being said, it was still pulling air in for all that air it was blowing out. So it was putting fuel in the motor, but that air wasn't getting to the motor. So it was making it run really rich and
really
way
rich.
Down on power because it had no boost. You know, and it was pretty rough running, no doubt. But we had one here not long ago that it was a truck, 19 model gentleman trying to travel from, I believe he was coming from Texas through to Florida. And he ran over some fencing in the middle of the road, and he made it just a little ways and started smelling something and got out and looked, and he had a bunch of that fence wrapped up in the pinion seal.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, in the drive shaft, and it destroyed the pinion seal and pinion
and all that kind of
stuff. So.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. Then you've got to disassemble the rear and take the ring gear and pinion and all out to fix all that.
We were able to get it out without having to do that, but getting the pieces was a problem because it was during all this shutdown area.
Uh-oh.
And it was a brand new truck just about, so it made it very difficult to get all the pieces, and he had to just go on home and come back later to get it.
Good gracious,
But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah, what's going on, gentlemen?
Oh, my
Pete, Lord. How are you?
I'm doing all right, big man. This is the fabulous Panini Pete, the mess lord. What have you been out messing with some lord somewhere or something? What
man,
you been doing, big guy?
Not hardly. You know, we're on quarantine.
No, so that's
just
over
doing
with.
Videos. We're sending video love all over the
place. That's over with, man, because I've been eating over there.
I know, well, not full quarantine.
Not full quarantine.
Traveling
anyway.
Overseas.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what's happening, big man? Tell us about
it. Man, just checking in, you guys. You know, listening to all the, I'm catching up. I got to change a bulb on my tag light, so I thought, you know, I might get some expert help. I got pulled over the other night because my dang tag light was out. What? Can you believe that?
That was an officer that was bored.
You were the third person
tailgating the bejesus out of me too. I was
third person
the brakes
in the week.
I was like, who is this knucklehead? And then the blue lights came, and I went, oh, never mind. He's okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, a friend of mine was talking about it, and they said they pulled that lady over. And while they was having the curfew, mm-hmm. and it was like after 10 o'clock at night, and they pulled over for the darn tag light on her vehicle and wound up giving her a ticket for that and then give her a damn ticket for being out of curfew, you know.
Right.
Oh, my God, she got the double whammy.
I know. That's, you know, they undoubtedly don't have anything to do, Pete. So
yeah.
I usually keep some extra po' boys or hush puppies or something in the car, and then I don't have to worry about it. But
you need to
carry
some coupons, man, or some beignets or something in a box. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, we've been blowing and going over there, Dad. Fabulous Father's Day. Breakfast was our best breakfast so far. Just had an amazing crowd in there. And, you know, we're keeping everybody spread out, and crews wearing masks and whatnot. We're being safe, being plenty safe.
Yep.
And the food's just coming out great, man. The view's great. The weather's been awesome.
Well, how long before we're going to get our oyster bar?
You know, it's supposed to come in this week. Rumor has it, Tom.
Uh-oh.
It is in transit. It's very close. So we should be getting that all dialed in and get it plumbed in. So that means easily in the next 90 days.
So how's – yeah, don't yell this in 90 days. Damn, you work slow. We're going to have to get a guy sitting on a bucket outside somewhere shucking oysters.
You better believe it, man. Well, we're still doing oysters. You could come get our oysters.
I know.
We're just not showcasing them out there dancing around wearing bikinis and chucking oysters.
Oh,
not yet.
Oh, is that what's going to happen?
I don't know, perhaps. I can't confirm or deny that, Tom.
All right. Well, hold on a minute. We're going to take this break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk to you about this subject, the Twin Peak Oyster Bar.
Yeah.
And the crowd is coming gone, shaking off the miles, and trying to make it home. Every exit is a season, every signal is a beak, and the wind.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we still got Pete online with us.
The fabulous Pete.
Yep.
Kind of like a barnacle. You can't scrape me off that quick.
Hey, you scrape him off, he comes right back.
Right.
Hey, you better. That's what it's all about. Well, you've been out of town. Have you guys been filming some more movies or shows or what?
No, I mean, actually was out there in Texas, out at MD Anderson with the wife. She had her annual checkups, and everything was fabulous. So,
oh, that's awesome, man.
It was
that's
a necessary trip. We just were gone for 3 days, and not even really a day and a half.
Right.
But everything went good.
That's
awesome.
I had
a good
That's
time.
Awesome.
Glad ate some good food and just couldn't wait to get back.
There you go. Listen, talk to us about these little mini crab cakes and all you got. What's that?
Yeah,
what's that
I mean, the baby cakes. You know, we're doing these crab cake
baby
sandwich
cakes.
Specials now that people are going nuts over. Selling a lot of fresh fish and grilled fish sandwiches. You know, that it continues to evolve into you know, we love the grits, greens, and gumbo and the fried catfish bowl. They're always mainstays. But people are, you know, we're getting a lot of new folks in there, and they're really enjoying the grilled stuff. We got draft beer that's a new addition, too, that we hadn't had in 20 years over there. So they're loving the cold draft beer, the local selection. Bushwhacker season is in full swing because I'm telling you, I don't know how many people were drinking them, but they drank a lot. Father's Day. There was a lot of bushwhack dads out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're going to have the oysters, you got to have the draft beer. I mean, that just kind of – you got to, yeah.
Little hot sauce, you know, the whole routine, man. People get that coleslaw and crackers and build like a little snack there. Little Lakers, a little flaw, a little fresh oyster.
Man, I tell you what, yeah, that's just awesome, Pete, and we appreciate what you and Nick are doing with that facility over there. And actually, all of them, I was going through the nappies there tonight voting, and I saw the squid inks in there on four or five different times, and the edges on there and sunset points in there.
Panini Pete, we got them all. Hey, and you know what? They had something new this year I'd never seen before, but they have this quintessential Baldwin that yours truly got nominated for, and I don't know what it means, but heck, go ahead and give me a vote, man.
That's right. All right, yeah, we can. I'll have to look for that then. Yeah.
The quintessential Baldwin. I think that's definitely in the small print.
Okay. We'll let you win it, and then we'll figure out what it means, right?
Yeah, there you go.
but, there's a lot of good nappy stuff out there at that time of year. You can vote for your favorite everything. Favorite car show.
There you go,
you
buddy.
Better believe it.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Well, we appreciate having
y'all support.
All right,
buddy. I don't
want
to hold you up too much, but get on out to Ed's. Come on out in your car. And as long as it's running smooth, if it's not, they know who to call.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yep. Call Nick. Yeah, Pete probably be in Vegas or something playing, nice or something.
You better believe it.
All right, buddy, thank you. Appreciate what you do over there. Appreciate you working with our first responders and our vets.
Awesome. Thank you for your support, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and looks like we do have another caller online. Let's see. Caller, are you with us?
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Good evening.
Hey, how are you?
You guys do a really nice job and really I would call it an outreach program to the community, and it's really fun to listen to you, and the information is great, so keep it up.
Oh, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I wanted to address the lady that was entertaining buying a Corvette from Canada, and while the price of the automobile might be less,
right,
that's true, it depends upon what province you buy it in. There's a goods and services tax that the dealer charges anywhere from 7% to 10% based on the value of the car.
Right.
Then, of course, you have transportation to get it to the U.S., which could be costly.
Right.
Then you have a 2.5% federal income tax that you have to pay also.
That was going to be my next question. What about the tax rate in America versus there? Then would you have to pay a federal tax as well as a state tax or city tax?
Not a state tax, Tom. That's a good question, but you do have to pay a federal tax of 2.5%.
Okay, right.
Well, and you do have to pay a registration fee when you buy the tag. So you pay the
you're gonna pay the state then.
Fees are involved as well.
I'm not sure the number on that stuff.
But anyhow, those are really things to consider, and when you add them all up, it just may not be worth the effort.
Well, and that's the thing is it's a lot of effort. You know, and you're probably not going to be able to travel up there, and you bought a vehicle from a dealer that you'll never see again, and they know that. So if you get what you paid for, you're lucky. If not, you know, they don't care. You know, it's shipped out, it's gone, it's yours at that point because it won't leave there until it's paid for.
Right.
Yeah. But, and just think about buying a used car and what that car has been exposed to from a weather standpoint up there.
Oh, yeah.
That could be significant as well also.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it just means so much to buy a vehicle from the dealer that you're going to have it serviced at, you know.
Absolutely.
I see people all the time that buy vehicles, you know, out of state or, you know, many miles away, and they bring them here to get them serviced and expect us to drop everything we're doing to look at their car because they just bought this. Well, I'm sorry, you know, our customers that bought from us are going to get preferential treatment. I mean, it's we're not putting your vehicle off, but we're going to work on the customers that took that made the effort to buy from us first. Yeah, you know, not running anyone off, not doing anything like that because you know we're not going to. It's business to us, but you know it's smart business to take care of your customers. Yeah.
Well, the other thing about it is it establishes a heck of a resale factor. When the person here goes to buy that vehicle from you and you say, hey, here's all the records there at such and such dealership.
Right.
And take my VIN number out there and let them run it through their computer bank. Mm-hmm. And it'll show you everything that I had done to it. And every time I changed oil, had the tires rotated, et cetera, you know?
Right. Say it was bought here, sold there, you know, serviced there every time.
Right. I'm not arguing with them about the price when I can get that.
Well, and there's no question as to whether all the maintenance was done when it comes time to have to warranty something, if there's any question as to whether, maybe it's out of warranty just a little bit, or if it's something that's questionable as it should be covered by warranty, there are times when the dealer will step up and help, try and get GM to step up and help. But, I don't know. It just makes more sense to buy it where you're going to get it serviced. It really does.
I forgot to mention one thing, Kevin. I think it's just on new cars, not used cars. In Canada, they have a luxury tax also.
Oh, yeah.
And I would guess a Corvette would fit in that category. And
probably so.
it's a double-digit number. I think it's like 15%. So. Anyhow, good show. Thanks for the information, and keep up the good work.
I appreciate you calling in. Thank you very much for listening and all the compliments. But
sure. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, and that's what we're here for.
That's the neat part about service. The show is this guy has some experience from what he's talking. Mm-hmm. He's been there and done that, or
right.
He's tried it or tried to buy one or whatever. But he has the experience.
Right.
And this is what we're trying to pass on to our people that are listening on the show.
Right.
And, if we're talking about something like that and you have experience or experience level that would warrant calling in, feel free to do so. We don't have a problem with that.
Right. I may say I know everything, but I don't.
No.
So, if
we knew everything, we wouldn't be here.
That's right.
We'd be on some island out there.
I'd have made enough money by now to not have to do this. So it's okay. But, we're just trying to give a service to the community, and we don't know the answer. We'll tell you quick, but somebody out there does. So, I'm more than open to hearing what people have to say for sure.
Let me run this one by you.
Okay.
I know my daughter's had a problem with her 69 Camaro.
Mm-hmm. It's not warranted anymore.
It's out of warranty.
It's out. just missed it.
She went to drive the other day, and she accelerated, and the accelerator stuck.
Hmm.
And, she had to hit the brakes.
Yeah.
Because the accelerator went, wow. The motor ran wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So she just motored right on to the shop, and they checked, and the motor mount was broke.
Yep.
So then they put new motor mounts on it, mm-hmm. and a week later, she's driving it, and it does the same thing.
Hmm.
That motor mount's broke.
Really?
So they really said, now there's something wrong. So they got to looking, and the motor mount brackets are bent. On the car. It looks like maybe when somebody took a transmission out of it back after she sold it and these other people had it,
right?
That they maybe took the transmission out and let the motor drop
down too far.
And went down too far, and it bent the metal brackets on the cross member where the motor mounts go. So once you get those in and bolt them in, it puts them in a little strain.
Right.
So it has a tendency then to pull them apart.
Right, right.
So... I was over there today. I told him, hey, look, put the brackets on there.
Right.
Don't worry about that. I don't want to pull my daughter out of no wall or somewhere.
Right. Well, and of course, the bad thing is that stuff's old now. It's hard to find.
Yeah.
The V8 motor mount brackets for a 69 Camaro. But
classic parts, somebody's, has got them somewhere. You can buy doors, fenders, and hoods and, whole body parts for them.
Well, and something else you got to think about is, it's a motor mount for a 50-year-old car, 51-year-old car now.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that part sit on the shelf?
Well, you have no control over that.
Right. You have no way of knowing. The bad thing about rubber is that it is constantly curing.
Sure. It's like fiberglass and concrete.
Yep. It is continuously curing. So it may have been on its deathbed before they put it in.
Well, here we go again. That's where we have a problem with the tires, and then the UV rays making on the tires, on the rubber on the tires, causes them to dry rot. So, they're still cooking and baking.
Yep. And actually, I believe on that year model Camaro, I believe it is supposed to have a safety strap on from the exhaust manifold around the upper control arm to keep that from hanging the throttle
open. It'll have one on it when it leaves the shop.
Well, it needs to have some kind of tie down,
right.
Or a mount that has a safety bracket built into it. Mm-hmm. The later model stuff has a metal stop tied into the motor mount to where if it busts, it's not just going to flop up like it does on those.
Well, back in the day, I don't know what we call them, but they had J hooks on the ends and a metal sleeve on the center that you could tighten it down,
right,
and lock it. And then it had a lock nut on each end of that sleeve, mm-hmm. and then you could lock it down because if you was going to drag race it or drag race it on the street, you didn't want that thing to bust when you floor poured it. And
right. Well, you
smoke the tires,
You didn't want it to have any give because that was losing energy that can make the car go forward.
Right.
Yeah. So, but it's definitely something I'd be looking into for sure. But anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
When there's no one there beside me, till I hold you once again, thank God for the radio. When I'm on the road, when I'm far from home, feeling blue.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raymond, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. Well, there's got to be some people out there with some questions.
Nah, man, everybody's car is perfect. They don't have any problems.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Everything's fixed, nothing broke, going nowhere.
What I want you, somebody asked me this week about getting their oil changed.
Mm-hmm.
And if they should get it changed to where it was just an oil change, or should they get it changed to where they're going to rotate the tires and do a service check?
Well, the thing is that no one opens the hood on their car anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay,
we don't have service stations anymore,
and no one's going to open jack their car up and rotate the tires themselves. Yeah.
Why you got to rotate the tires? Tell our listeners.
They'll set up wear patterns. If you leave them in the same spot the whole life, your rear tires will last longer than the front, but the front will wear out quicker. But the only problem is the rear is going to get cupped wear because all cars are front wheel drive now, and the lack of weight and drive on the rear tires will actually let them cup fairly easy if you don't rotate them. If you keep them rotated, they all wear out about the same time, but you don't end up with that roaring noise thinking you got a bearing bad because you've got a cup tire that ends up on the front.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, y'all just rotated my tires. There's something wrong. It's making noise now.
Rotating them now? Do we still X them? Do we put the left front on the right rear and the right front on the left rear?
You can. Typically, we're front to back, and that's perfectly sufficient for tire wear. If you've got one that has a wear problem, sometimes we will rotate them, cross-rotate them. But front to back is fine.
Don't we have some tires now that have outside and inside marked on them or some kind of marks?
Well, we do have a lot of vehicles out now that the tires are either different size front to rear,
right.
So you can't.
That's where I was going with that.
You can sometimes rotate them side to side, but then a lot of those tires are also directional. So, just you have to change them over on the wheel if you go.
Oh, you'd
do
have
it.
To dismount them and remount them.
Yeah, so it's more trouble than it's worth, and most of those cars are rear-wheel drive that have that set up, so you really don't have that problem with them as much. But they're performance tires, and they're not designed to last 40 or 50,000 miles. Usually they're a 20,000-25,000 mile tire.
Whoa, wait a minute. Those things cost a couple of $100 or more.
You can go buy some of these really expensive ones that go on, like the Z06 Corvette that's wore out when you get them. And if you get 8,000 or 9,000 miles out of them, you're doing good.
Whoa, really?
So, They have very little rubber on them, but it's a race tire. You know, it looks like a race slick. You know, the first 6 or 8 inches of it across from the outside edge doesn't have a tread on it. It's just slick rubber.
That's a race car. That's
slick. And the inside edge has just a couple lines.
That's a race tire.
Not designed to be out in rain. Not to be.
My Lord.
You know, you can't even move the car if it's at freezing temperatures. They don't want you moving a car. You'll damage the tires. It's a race tire. So most of the people that have those that are actually going to drive them, they will buy another set of tires immediately and put on the car.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they're just not meant to be.
Well, now can you buy in those particular areas? With these high-dollar cars with all this exotic suspension and everything on it, is it beneficial to buy some more exotic high-performance tires that has better tread all on them than that? Or where are we
well,
at with that?
I mean,
or do y'all sell a tire?
Well, we can. You know, and if you're going to drive it on the street every day, you know, most people that drive those don't necessarily use them for daily transportation.
They're toys.
It's a toy, and it's really meant to be a track toy. You can do it on the street, but you know that is a track ready car. I mean, it comes with you know extra spoilers you put on. It comes with the brakes that you know will definitely
which
do
car
are
we talking about?
Do. The
which
Z06 Camaro.
Z06 Corvette. Camaro. Okay, Corvette.
Corvette, yeah, and the Z01 Camaro too. They're a racehorse. You know, no doubt. Anything that puts out almost 700 horsepower. And is capable of
that's not a grocery
G's
car.
And, yeah, well, yeah, it can be, but yeah, as long as you eat light because there's not a whole lot of space to put stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah, you might get one brown bag in there.
Right. But you know, they're that's not really what they're meant for. So you know, but most people that drive them on a regular basis on the street, you know, they'll have a different set of tires to put on it.
Okay,
save those for when you go to the track and play.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
You want them as fresh as they're going to be when you hit the track anyway. Yeah. But,
yeah.
And people, you'd be surprised how many people take their Corvettes, Camaros to like Barber's Motorsports Park and some of these SCCA events.
You know, on the road courses?
On the road course up there and play with them. Yeah.
Holy cow. Oh, yeah. No, I don't think I'd be, you know, if it was a $100,000 race car designed for that, okay, because I knew I was going to have to build it anyway again. But I just swear I don't believe I'd want to put me on $70,000 to $80,000.
But you can turn the air on and listen to radio and stuff while you're out there playing.
While my tires are squalling, I'm going around a turn sideways. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It, now, of course, you might want to turn the radio down and listen
to the I didn't want to fall, I didn't about, fall off so. Of that turnip truck. I might watch you do it.
yeah, it'd be fun right up to the point where you tear something up.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know. And most people are not really pushing them to the edge to where they're going to do that. But, hey, anything can happen. You don't ever know.
Sure.
Anytime, and I tell everybody around the racetrack, anytime you load that car onto the trailer, it may be the last time it rolls.
Yep.
You know. I've seen cars tore up, and I've had cars torn up on the trailer, either coming to going or coming from the racetrack.
Yes, we've been there.
Yeah, yes, and I've seen it happen many times. I run a race in op, won the race, didn't put a scratch on the car, and got run slap over coming home from op in Crestview.
Put you out in the woods, didn't it?
Well, it knocked the front the both spindles off of the front axle of my trailer and just about knocked the car off the trailer.
Oh, my God.
And it did almost $9,000 worth of damage to the car. Yeah. And
well, I knew a guy that had been to the racetrack in Atlanta on the drag strip and wound up in the woods amongst a bunch of pine trees with the motorhome, the trailer, and the car, and the car inside the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, we're talking about $400,000 to $500,000 worth of equipment.
Oh, easily. You know, and you get to pulling a race trailer in a truck. And we tie everything down really well. But if you get into a wreck, and our pit cart weighs as much as most people's car.
It's
2,500 pounds worth of pit cart.
When he might explain to some of the people what a pit cart is.
Well, it's basically a big toolbox that we
souped
roll out.
Souped up toolbox.
Yeah. With
it's got
all
everything
our,
in it but a motor.
Pretty much, yeah.
You could just about build one, though.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, when we tie it down, if you get you know, at highway speeds and you hit something and stop pretty quick, guess what? That thing's not going to stay tied
down.
Yeah,
it's moving.
You know, things are going to come loose. It's going to move around. It's going to destroy everything inside that trailer. Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, we're, yeah. But we still enjoy it. We still go. We still do. I'm fixing mine right now from our last outing in Pensacola, having to, you know, reskin the back half of the car and, you know, fix a few things. And, you know, they were like, well, just it finished the race. Just hammer it out and go again. I said, you know, car is not going to go to the racetrack.
He don't take a car to
looking
the
like
that.
No. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, we back in the day, even in the 80s and 70s and 80s and all that, I mean, we could skin a – put a new body on a car in a day and a half.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, you know, if I'm going to spend the kind of time and money that I'm going to spend to go to the racetrack, it's going to look like I spent that kind of time and money on it. Yeah.
I might hit it with a hammer just when it goes out the door just so to tell the driver, don't worry about it, it's already got a dent in it.
Nobody ever had to do that with me because I was never scared to scratch
one.
Oh,
you wouldn't? No, you weren't. You know,
by no means. By no means. Yeah.
Not Big Kev.
Nope.
Ooh, man.
It sounds like we've run up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we'll be back next week.
And we certainly want to thank all of our fine first responders, our vets, and all these fine people at the hospitals and all that have been taking care of us during the quarantines. God bless all of you. We appreciate you. And a big hoorah to all of our vets.